joining Children of the Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things Star Wars television. I am your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me as always is...
Mac Lacey. Alex, the day is here. This is we've been waiting for this moment for so long. This is the only time we're going to be more excited is on December 29th.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the arrival of the Book of Boba Fett trailer. We are so excited. We've got our first look at, you know, what the show's going to be. Yeah. And there's just so much to talk about.
There is so much to talk about. I mean, we speculated on our before the trailer prediction show that it would make sense for Disney to release the trailer before November 12th, because if what I'm hearing about November 12th is true, there's going to be a lot of other things that we're going to need to talk about, and you want to have Boba Fett have his day of, you know, just celebration, and yes, this is that day.
He's certainly a character that deserves a little bit of the spotlight, you know, for himself. So,
yeah.
And I feel like this is something that so many people have been waiting on for so long. Cause like the promise of Boba Fett has always been greater than the reality we've ever had on screen. I feel like, you know, and so I think this is going to be kind of the first taste of, you know, cashing that check. So,
This is incredible. I cannot wait. We're here to do a scene-by-scene breakdown of this trailer. So we are going to go over every scene, every line, analyze it, and speculate what it can mean. So make sure you stick around. If you are new to the podcast, we are formerly The Mandalorian Watch, which was the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. But because the Book of Boba Fett is coming out, Ahsoka, other shows like Obi-Wan, we decided to shift our name from The Mandalorian Watch to Children of the Watch to better cover all the live-action Star Wars television shows. And so that's who we are. And we're now on YouTube as well. So if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube as well, which there will be a link in the show notes. I think we should just go ahead and jump into the breakdown. What do you think, Mac?
Yeah, there's too much to go over to wait any longer. So let's jump in.
So we start off outside Jabba's former palace, and there is a BT-16 perimeter droid walking around. And this is according to the Wikipedia, what this is a Boimar monk droid. I know, right? They use these droids to carry brains of those who had achieved enlightenment. The droids were occasionally equipped with vocoders and lived in Jabba's palace until his death. The walkers generally went unarmed while carrying a brain and had trouble doing anything besides walking. What do you think about that?
I mean, so that is, you know, a direct pull off the Wikipedia
Jedi
page. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I love, we've seen things like that liquid thing before. I don't know that, have we ever seen one of these droids in particular on screen?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're walking around in Jabba's palace when C-3PO walks in.
Okay.
He's I think he's scared by one.
Yeah, I know we've seen, like, the liquid going. This came out while I was at work, and I came straight home. So
same.
I have, we've done no further research or anything like that. So we're just going off the top here. But yeah, I love the look. It looks like something that, you know, it's reminiscent of, like, the hookah thing Jabba's pulling on the whole time. It's got a lot of, it looks like it belongs there. Creepy. It is
creepy.
It's all spindly and then
we hear Boba Fett's voice. I am not a bounty hunter, he says, which is an interesting statement.
I mean, I beg to differ, but
well, maybe this says a lot about what his aim is now.
Yeah, it's very present tense for sure.
Yeah.
But somebody definitely knows his past, because we have Alien One saying, I've heard otherwise.
Yeah, we will talk about Alien One. So a droid hands Boba Fett his helmet, okay? And he's inside what I assume is his new room in the palace, which I'm not going to call Jabba's palace anymore. I'm going to call this Boba's palace.
Yeah, why not, baby?
Yeah, and there looks to be a window, and it looks very Tatooine-ish outside the window. But this could be a different planet. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this is a different planet. But my guess is this is probably the top of the tower of Jabba's or I'm sorry, Boba's palace. And this is his like new room. And so you've got this droid handing him his helmet. And then we hear another voice respond. And you can hear the Ithorian is talking. Like you can hear the guttural sound.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. I was actually worried about this when we were first hearing some rumors and reports about this Ithorian character who was just, you know, had a normal voice actor cast for them. So I'm glad that they're going this route. I like being able to hear the guttural, throaty Ithorian thing going on. You know,
it takes you back to the Knights of the Old Republic days, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Yeah,
it sure does. That dialogue did not get repetitive at all. Like hearing the Ithorians just say the same thing over and over when you ask the same thing.
But it was satisfying. Like, it is a very satisfying sound to hear an Ithorian talk.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
It sounds like what a carburetor would sound like talking.
Right.
Or something.
I don't know. Right. So. So then we have a device is translating his words into Basic, which we have seen a version of this before in Star Wars Rebels.
And Up with the dogs.
And Up with the dogs. Speaking of, my dogs are barking. So you've got him like basically speaking into this device and it's translating what he's saying. And the Ithorian goes on to say, I've heard otherwise, which is Alien One. And then Boba Fett actually puts on his helmet and we cut to the Lucasfilm logo. And then we enter back into the teaser and we actually... Yeah.
Did you notice that the Lucasfilm logo was done up in the color scheme? Of
I did not notice that.
Yeah,
so the whole Lucas...
Little color effect there.
Nice. So, okay, when we actually enter back in to the teaser, we see Fennec Shand and Boba Fett walking into some sort of town. Again, I'm not sure if this is Tatooine or not, but if it is, it's a part of Tatooine we haven't seen on screen before. And based on what, like, once I finished the trailer and I watched it all, I started to realize, I think the majority of this show is actually taking place on Tatooine. Like, yeah. I think, really, we're going to be on Tatooine probably more than what we're used to, because it seems like the criminal underworld operates off of Tatooine, not Coruscant like maybe it used to. It's operating off of Tatooine now.
Yeah. Just, and we'll be talking about our bigger takeaways, you know, about the premise of the show and tone and everything like that later, I'm sure, but I'm getting big, like, mob movie vibes from this.
Yeah.
Like, it's about the kind of the political scene of the underworld, it seems like. It's like it's gonna be like a Sopranos type thing. You know, like it's the underworld, there's people making moves, there's people located different places. You know, we'll probably go to Coruscant or something, check in with the family there. But like, you know, New Jersey is Tatooine, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like the majority of what we see on this trailer is Tatooine, which it's cool that we're starting to see, like, new areas of Tatooine that it looks like we haven't been to before on screen.
Yeah.
And I've got a theory of where this place might be. But as they're walking into this town, everybody is looking at Boba Fett and Fennec Shand, and like, why wouldn't you?
Right.
And then it starts to fade out. And once it fades back, we actually see the Ithorian, or a hammerhead if you are an old school Star Wars fan, sitting in a chair. And there's an interesting array of carvings behind him. Kind of looks like hieroglyphics of Basic. Almost to me, it reminded me a lot of, by the way, Basic is like the Star Wars language, so that's what that is.
It's what comes across as English in the
right
movies.
Yeah, and so he has a Twi'lek servant serving him, but I don't know about you, Mac, but I immediately thought of Doc Ondar when I saw him.
Yeah, definitely has that vibe. I liked just seeing Twi'leks, first of all. Anytime we see Twi'leks and stuff, I'm always glad, because I feel like it they're just one of the coolest, like, practical aliens, if that makes sense. Like, actually putting head tails on people is awesome.
It's a shame we never saw any in the sequel trilogy.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they just... And, like, Rodians won't pop up. No Aqualish. No, none of that, you know?
We get some of them. We get some Aqualish in this trailer. Sequel?
Oh, yeah. In this trailer,
trailer. So, okay, so you've been to Galaxy's Edge before, right? So, like, when you go into, like, the place where they have all the knickknacks, they've got even the relief from Palpatine's room in there. They have, like, kyber crystals. It's the coolest place, in my opinion,
they have
of Galaxy's Edge.
Like relief sculpture painting things of, like, old Jedi stuff. And, yeah, it's cool. But Doc Ondar.
He gave me a lot of those vibes. I don't think that this is Doc Ondar, but he did make me think of him.
Maybe an associate or a forebearer, I don't know, a predecessor, maybe.
Predecessor, maybe, yeah. So, like, who do you think this guy is? It is my impression from the trailer that this guy, this Ithorian, is like the main rival to Boba Fett in the series.
Yeah, I was getting big, just like syndicate boss vibes. Obviously has means, obviously has like ambition and stuff just from the dialogue we were getting, you know. I'm gonna go with like other syndicate leader or so, like maybe an underboss of some kind, somebody who's in
so
the
maybe
world,
he's not
the
top one, but Boba Fett's gonna have to deal with him at some point, and I think we even see a part of that in the trailer.
Yes,
but it's my hope that this Ithorian is like a big part of the show because I already love him. I love this Ithorian. I love his look. I love his aesthetic behind him.
Yeah.
I mean, this Ithorian's pretty cool.
I love the engravings and everything like that. Yeah. It definitely gives me, like, he's someone who's in the underworld, but, like, has a sense of culture and everything about him. He's
little Dryden Voss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big vibes. And I wonder even if you know, this Ithorian is leading a syndicate we're already aware of. Like, what if it's Crimson Dawn? And we don't know how the whole Maul situation shakes out. You know, there's
actually some news on that. I don't know if you saw, the next animated series is following Darth Maul and Crimson Dawn.
Perfect. I had not. That's breaking for me.
It broke right before we got on the podcast. So
that's incredible. We've been needing to get that, you know, filled in for sure. Ever since Solo, that was the biggest question mark to end on ever.
Yeah, and if you're wondering who Dryden Voss is, that's the bad guy in Solo.
Yes,
it's Vision.
Paul Bettany. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So a lot of vibes. Dryden Voss, this Ithorian. I think they could have been friends at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have liked to hang out with each other. There's something about the cadence of the Ithorian's voice, though, that I really, really like, that gives it a little bit of a creepy vibe. Like, this is a guy who knows he's not going to be able to, like, outfight you physically. Like, if he got in a fight with you, he would lose, but he doesn't even have to get in a fight with you because he's already thought, like, three steps ahead of you, and you're already done for.
Yeah, just from, like, the delivery, you get calculated, you get manipulative.
Yes.
Slimy, kind of, but sleek.
Which is incredible, because we've never seen an Ithorian character like this before. Typically, in the Star Wars universe, Ithorians are, like, very peace.
They're hippies.
Loving. Yeah, they're hippies.
They're, like, big into conservation. That was a big thing in KOTOR. I think specifically the second one, maybe. But it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, no, so that's pretty cool. That is the first one. That's Dantooine.
Dantooine. Yep. So the Ithorian goes on to say, "I know you sit on the throne of your former employer." And then Boba Fett and Finnick are entering this same room with the Ithorian. You can kind of see them enter as this dialogue is being said. And then we cut to an incredible cityscape. And I wrote in my notes, is this Tatooine? But the more I've thought about it as the day has gone on, I think, like I said, the majority of what we see in this trailer, I think, is taking place on Tatooine. Here is what I think this place could be. I think this place could be Anchorhead.
Yeah, my mind, so the first, my mind went to Mos Eisley, just because, oh, big city Tatooine, that's where it is. But it's like sunken in a crater in a way we haven't seen. We're missing some of the famous Mos Eisley landmarks, you know, from like the skyline. So yeah, I think it's a new place. Anchorhead's a great bet. We haven't seen it on screen, have we?
So
I think only in KOTOR.
I think so, yeah, only in KOTOR. Like, and it was much smaller then.
Yeah.
So like when basically Anchorhead is mentioned in the very first Star Wars, Luke
says
tells
he can
Obi-Wan.
Take Obi-Wan as far as Anchorhead.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would make sense. If Anchorhead is close to Jabba's palace, that would make kind of sense if that's the case. I think what we need to do is go back and watch that episode of The Mandalorian where they show kind of a map of Tatooine and they show Mos Pelgo.
Yeah.
We need to go back and look at that for sure, because I think there's some other cities on there that gives you an idea of where Mos Espa is related to Mos Eisley. And it'd be interesting to see. I can't remember off the top of my head if Anchorhead is on that map as well.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that I'm very eager for the at-home Star Wars detectives to come up with for me, like translating all the stuff behind the Ithorian. And
yeah, that would take a while.
It's like, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to wait for somebody to do it for me, and I'm going to read it.
Yeah, we could do that, but then you wouldn't get the show out as quickly as we could. So
there you go. Do you want us reacting as soon as we get off of work, or do you want us to wait to translate the wall?
Exactly.
It's up to y'all. Just let us know.
The wall's going to take a while, though. That wall is going to take a while. But I just got to say about this city, incredible city. I would love to live in this city if I lived on Tatooine.
If you got to live on Tatooine, this seems like the place.
It's in a crater, and then some of it is like on, like above it too. Like it kind of extends. Really cool looking city. I love this. I feel like we didn't get to see an image like this in The Mandalorian. Now we saw Navarro, but nothing quite as big as this city is, and I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I love a big Star Wars city, especially when it's in a strange environment, like a massive city in the middle of the desert, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, or like an underwater Gungan city, you know, like stuff like that's just super cool to see. It's cool to like imagine what daily life would be in this city dealing with the particular situation and the elements, and how daily life there would be different than, you know, it's just like thinking about LA and New York in the States, and just like how different those places are, and just how different of a day-to-day you have if you live in either of those places.
In Vegas,
you know? So like I just love seeing different Star Wars cities. It's always cool. I hope we get a lot of good atmospheric stuff walking through that city, seeing the street vendors, the cantina bands, you know, all that stuff. So
I think we do see some of this city in the trailer. I think that's the city that they were entering. And then later in the trailer, when they're surrounded with the guys with shields, I think this is that city. Yep. I think that's where this is. We'll see though. And so after this incredible cityscape, we cut to an empty throne, and then we hear Boba say, "Jabba ruled with fear." And then we cut back to the Ithorian's place, and his men appear to start pointing all their weapons at Boba. Boba points his weapon back at them. Fennec also has her weapon up. She's looking to Boba to see what to do. And then there's some larger Gamorrean guards in this place, which lends me to think, again, that this is all on Tatooine. And this Ithorian might have taken over a good portion of Jabba's former syndicate.
Yep.
Right? And so, like, he brought them to him.
Yeah. I think that's likely. That would be a likely scenario to put these characters at odds with each other, with Boba and the Ithorian. Just because it seems like Boba's trying to, you know, kind of stake his claim to Jabba's empire, and you know, if it's already kind of been split up and divided out, you know, maybe Boba's trying to reclaim those pieces.
Right.
And so like that conflict is, you can see it, you know, already just in what we've gotten from the trailer.
And like when you think back to the teaser that we got at the end of The Mandalorian, Jabba's palace was pretty empty with Bib Fortuna. Like there were some people there, but not many.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they all went to this Ithorian's place instead.
Yeah, I mean, everything in Jabba's palace after season two of The Mandalorian, everything looked like the times were not great. Like maybe Bib had not been the best steward of what he had been left. Yeah.
So we cut to another scene of Boba taking off his helmet and Finnick walks up beside him. And they definitely look to be in some sort of Tatooine street here. Again, I think this is the same city that we saw before. And so, to remind you, Boba said, Jabba ruled with fear. And then we hear Boba say, I intend to rule with respect. Which, again, lends to that change in Boba Fett that we witnessed in Season 2 of The Mandalorian. This is not the same Boba Fett that we saw in The Empire Strikes Back, in the sense of he seems to have really kind of changed in terms of what his motivation and his goals are.
Right. I know, like, his kind of the standard reputation that goes along with his character is he's just, like, the baddest dude in the galaxy,
right,
strikes fear into the heart of everyone who hears his name kind of thing. But I'm way more interested in a version of this character who has been that in the past and is now trying to live a different way.
Yes.
That's so much more interesting to me.
Yeah.
And so much easier to root for a character like that and not just a, he looks cool way, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I'm very excited to see that. That line was big for me when I first heard it watching it this morning.
Well, I mean, even visually, though, I think there's a difference in Boba Fett because he's taking off his helmet all the time.
All the time, yeah.
So it's almost like he doesn't feel the need to, like, hide behind it as much as he used to, per se.
Right. Yeah, there's that. Character previously, you never would have thought he would have sought a position of leadership.
Right.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
He's very much just a, you know, I'm trying to make it in the galaxy, looking out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and I mean, it still seems like he's probably looking out for number one, but there's a bigger vision here. And that's just not something you would have expected.
Yeah, and I'm curious, and maybe at the end of this, we can theorize, what is that vision? What is Boba's ultimate plan with taking over the underworld? What does he want to do besides just rule with respect?
Right.
Because I think that there's something bigger going on here that they have not revealed through this trailer, but I feel like it's hinted at. So Finnick gives an annoyed side glance at Boba, and then we cut to streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. And then we're back outside of Jabba's palace, and we cut to a larger dinner table, probably inside the palace, and we see Boba at the head of the table. We see Trandoshans, Clatooans, which are like the dog-like aliens. They look a lot like Weequays, but they're dogs.
And they don't have like the stuff around the outside of their faces, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and then we see the Aqualish as well. And then Finnick says, you were all once captains under Jabba the Hutt. And at the head of the table, Boba says, I'm here to make a proposal that's mutually beneficial.
Yep.
Interesting. We'll come back to that at the speculation part at the end of this. And then we cut to see Finnick and Boba at the top of the palace looking out across Tatooine at dusk. I love this shot. Visually, I'm really loving what this show is doing from what we've seen so far. It's giving us Tatooine at different times in different places that we've never seen before. There's something about this that's very John Carter-ish that kind of, you know, helped inspire Star Wars.
Yes.
I really like what I'm seeing here.
Oh, yeah. It is shaping up just to be... It already seems like it has a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
There's going to be like the political, not actual political, but the political intrigue of the underworld stuff.
Yes.
Like the mob stuff.
So good.
There's going to be action. There's going to be Just from like the stuff we've seen around the Ithorian character, maybe we're getting into some. There's going to be some artifacts or something of some kind, you know.
Ooh.
Maybe something tying in to the larger narrative at play. Maybe something to do with Mandalore. You never know.
Ooh,
we're you know, got to keep that open.
Ooh,
yeah, but it's shaping up to be everything I want in a Star Wars show.
That's really good. That's good speculation. Guys, that's why you listen to Children of the Watch, a Star Wars show. It's for little nuggets like that. That's good stuff. I hadn't even thought about this could possibly tie into Mandalorian somehow because, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors that Din will be showing up in this show.
Right. And I mean, it'll be tied to Boba because this is very much yes. a Boba show and not a Mandalore show.
But
like we kind of think the Mandalorian will become, but we've already seen that they're floating in the same world.
Yeah, they're very connected, and yeah, that's really good. I like that. So then we cut back to the text and it says every galaxy, and then we fade back in and quickly get a shot of some shabby looking Tusken Raiders walking in a storm. These Tusken Raiders looked a little off to me. There was something like. They were not as, I don't know, there's something different about these Tusken Raiders than a normal Tusken Raider, whether these are like actually people just dressed up as Tusken Raiders, or this is a different kind of tribe of Tusken Raiders that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a very quick shot, but it was very interesting. I would assume that might be a flashback part of the Tusken Raiders might have taken Boba in after he got out of the Sarlacc pit.
That definitely seems possible.
He had a gaffy stick, you know?
Right, right. And seems to know how to use it. Like maybe
right.
they helped him train back up, get his strength up, and he picked up a few things, you know, something like that,
right.
maybe. The other scenario could be that it was what you said first, and it's people dressed up like Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in disguise. Maybe they just need to get across the desert, and they need the face equipment. You know, I think I think a helmet would take care of that. But you know, you never know. That is the other possibility that I would say
right.
is that it's either a flashback or it's maybe the crew dressed up as raiders for some reason.
Right, and we all know Star Wars loves to have their characters dress up as other characters.
That's
to
the only way.
Somewhere.
Yeah, it's the only way that problems get solved around the galaxy.
It's also the only way in the Knights of the Old Republic game to enter the Tatooine Sand People.
The Enclave.
Enclave. Yeah. Like, you cannot go in unless you're dressed as a Tusken Raider. And you better be careful because they can figure out who you are pretty quickly.
And, like, from we've seen in The Mandalorian, they're not, like, so the Krayt Dragon thing was pulled right out of KOTOR, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
I wouldn't put it. You know, pass them to also bring that in.
Yeah, I know.
You know, yep. You never know.
Yep. So then we have a quick cut to Finnick pulling out a knife and quickly throwing it. And then we see another shot of Boba and Finnick entering some bazaar type shop. And then we get another quick shot of two Twi'lek women in some sort of cantina. Again, it's good to see Twi'leks back in the Star Wars TV world. I love seeing them. And then Boba says, why speak of conflict when cooperation can make us all rich?
Yeah.
And then we cut back to black and the text says, has an underworld. So every galaxy has an underworld.
Yeah.
I don't know if the get rich thing is actually Boba's aim there, but I think he's speaking to his audience.
Yes. It also seems like a... It seems like a ploy of some kind, maybe. Maybe it's
trap.
An angle he's working, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Then we get a quick shot of Slave One flying over Tatooine. It appears to be dusk in Tatooine. And then we cut back to the dinner table, and the Clatooian ask, what prevents us all from killing you and taking what we want? And then we get a quick glance from Finnick to Boba as he takes a sip from a goblet, which... I love that shot for some reason. Like, I love the unspoken communication between Boba and Finnick.
Yes.
It really gives you a sense of like, oh, they're a very good team.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see their relationship, whatever that might be, as this show goes on.
Right. I'm excited to see if they have any kind of previous relationship. Like, if by the time we're seeing Boba in Empire Strikes Back, if he's already met Fennec, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see that. And then I'm also interested to see what Fennec's own personal motivations are.
Right.
What she has to gain from this partnership with Boba. Because, I mean, they it looks like they're working very closely together. Like you were saying, that unspoken communication. Like, they're definitely a team. Yeah. So I'm very interested to see how those dynamics, you know, play out.
Yeah, I am very, very excited about that. Then we get another quick shot of a battle, and it looks like the laser shields that we see later are activated in the background, and Boba's helmet crashes to the ground, and what looks like money spills out of it.
Yeah, like, it, like his helmet was full of silver dollars is what it looks like.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, was it because he was using it to carry them? Was he trying to hide? Like, I mean, like, where is the helmet coming from when it spills on the ground? Is it coming, like, from Boba's head? Was he hiding them in his helmet? Was he just using it as a vessel to carry? I don't know.
I mean, is Boba that desperate for cash? Like, he's carrying around cash in his helmet?
I mean, it seems like almost like a collection plate type scenario. You would pass around a hat to put money in. Like, they're, like, coming up with funds for something, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, almost like that scenario, and then something happens and it spills. I have no idea why Boba would put physical coins in his helmet. I don't know.
I can't wait to see why, though. I can't wait to see why. But then we see the red and black-dressed warriors ignite their shields on their arms. I have speculation of who these guys might be. I'm wondering if they're part of the Red Key crew, which is like, I don't know if I said that completely right, but basically in the Aftermath trilogy, when Cobb Vanth is cleaning up Mos Pelgo, there is a crew that comes in, and we saw this in The Mandalorian. He like shot up those people. This might be part of that same group. There's just something about them that kind of reminded me this might be part of the same group or something.
Yeah, I could see that. And then it would be great. I mean, if we were going to check back in with Cobb Vanth, you know, maybe he comes and saves them from this gang because he's already after them. Or, you know, who knows? But introducing that outfit into this is a good way to cross paths with Cobb Vanth again, I think.
I wonder if we will see him in this show.
It's going to be on Tatooine for a lot of it, at least from the trailer. Like,
and I don't imagine he's left Tatooine, right?
I wouldn't think so. He seemed pretty purpose-driven, you know? I don't think losing his armor is going to change his mission at all, you know?
I also feel like Boba allowed him to use that armor, so there might be some sort of, from a distance, Boba like kind of approves of him in a way of like, you're worthy to wear the armor until you're done with it type thing. I don't know. That's all, like, we have no idea why Boba just let him use that armor. It doesn't seem like Boba did not know he was using it. Kind of, to me, feel like Boba knew he was using it.
Yeah, and it seemed like he was just letting it ride until he had a specific thing that he was going to go do that he needed his armor for. And I think that's whatever's about to happen in the Book of Boba Fett. Because Din was just a thing that happened on the way.
Yes.
The whole rendezvous with Din and, you know, going to rescue Grogu and everything.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. So then so all those guys in the red and black ignite the shields on their arms, which is cool. We get to see this in live action.
Yeah.
A version of this has been done in the animated world. Mandalorians have actually used those type of shields before.
I was about to say, like, the security forces on Mandalore use a thing that's kind of similar. And then, like, Death Watch have the little energy bucklers that appear on their gauntlets and stuff, too. So that's kind of cool that, you know, it's a technology that's at least associated with Mandalore in some way.
Yeah, it's really cool. And they look to have some sort of stun pike, but I don't think it's set to stun. and it's in their hands. And they're surrounding Fennec and Boba, and Boba does not look happy at all.
Nah.
And oh my gosh, he takes them down and appears to go into a rage like the tragedy from season 2 of The Mandalorian and absolutely destroys someone with the pike.
Yeah, I love that his moves look like it looks like traditional like Maori combat, or like mm-hmm. like a haka is kind of what the moves and stuff look like. So I love that they're bringing that in. Because, you know, Tim brought so much of like the New Zealand influence into Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Like up until this point, until like before he starts rage killing this person and they're getting surrounded and stuff, there's something very Indiana Jones about that sequence from what we can see so far that looks like, oh, that's going to be a really fun scene when that all plays out. And then like Boba Fett's just going to lose it on someone. And I can imagine the rest of them are just like, you know what? It's not worth it. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
I think this is a bad idea.
And that kind of brings me to a point. Like what this trailer could have been was a minute of Boba Fett looking cool and shooting blasters.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad it wasn't.
Same.
I'm
yes.
so glad it wasn't. Cause yes. like we're going to get tons of that. Like that's, that's built in. That's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. You can take that to the bank. But I love that what this trailer gave us is just a hint at the story and what we're tuning in for.
Honestly, like if I'm being completely honest, I like this trailer better than season 2 trailer of The Mandalorian, because the season 2 trailer of The Mandalorian, when you watch, go back and watch it, it's just kind of images. Like there is no, like I like a trailer that really kind of sets you up for the journey you're about to take.
Right.
The Mandalorian season 2 trailer is just kind of like, here's a boat. And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the nature of what that season was,
it makes sense,
right? Because that season was kind of like, here's this, now here's this, now here's this. Right. And like, and we've talked at length about all that, you know, elsewhere. Check out any episode ever and you can get all of our opinions on all that. But like, yeah, it makes sense for what that season is, which makes me, it heartens me that like, hopefully this trailer is what this show is going to be. A nice, like...
Right. Very contained.
A nuanced, but like contained story, you know?
Yeah. I don't think everything in terms of like the huge potential scope of what's happening here has been revealed in this trailer, but it's at least started us thinking in the right direction of, okay, so Boba Fett is looking to do something really big in the criminal underworld in the Star Wars universe, but we don't know what that is yet. And we know that there is an antagonistic force against him.
Yep.
And I think that's a really good start for us, because it kind of lets your mind start playing with, okay, we are a month away now. Well, next month, let me say that next month is the Book of Boba Fett, even though it's like the last 2 days of the month.
Yeah.
It's basically 2 months away. But
basically New Year's is when the Book of Boba Fett comes out, give or take.
But like it lets you start playing around with what's going to happen in the show and start getting excited for it. So I love this trailer. I'm glad you said that. So then we fade back in and Boba is sitting on the throne while Fennec stands next to him. Love the way Boba Fett is sitting, by the way. Just, I mean, this guy is in charge. Like, you don't sit like that unless you know you're in charge.
Cool, calm, and collected. Just in charge of the situation. He has got it handled. Not worried about nothing.
I mean, Boba Fett is living up to what we all imagined him to be. And it's really, really cool to see. And then Fennec says, if you had spoken such insolence to Jabba, he would have fed you to his menagerie. And then we get a shot of all the gangsters looking at each other. And then we come back on Boba and he says, please speak freely. As he sits on the throne, we cut to the title, The Book of Boba Fett, streaming December 29th. Incredible trailer. I loved it. It's gotten me way more excited for the Book of Boba Fett. I was already excited for it, but now it's like on another level. Honestly, I think it's going to, like you said, it's going to tell a story, hopefully, that's really nuanced and as much as I love season two of The Mandalorian, it was like a big setup for what's to come. And right. now we get to see what's to come. Like, right? Like we're starting to see what's to come thanks to season two of The Mandalorian. And I'm really excited for, okay, how does this play in, not just in terms of the Book of Boba Fett, but what implications will this have on the galaxy for Ahsoka for right. season three of The Mandalorian? And when Thrawn comes into the picture and beyond. So I'm really excited to see what this show can do.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I think that it's definitely showing us we're going to get that conflict we've been wondering about, which is like, what has changed fundamentally about who Boba is as a person after coming out of the Sarlacc? Yeah. What is he after? We're going to see him deal with that. I mean, we see, you know, Jabba would have done this and this and this, but we're trying things differently, like speak freely. I'm leading with respect, not fear. I can't wait to see the internal conflicts that all of those things are external signs of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, though I do think the speak freely was slightly sarcastic to me of like, yeah, go ahead and say what you want, but I might kill you.
I think it's...
You think it's for real?
I think it might be sincere.
Okay.
I think Boba might be trying to just really institute a new way of conducting things in the underworld.
It's
going to depend on what his ultimate goal is, you right. know, whether or not that ends up being a sincere thing or not.
So, like, it does lead you to think through, like, okay, like, there's, in the old canon for Star Wars, there was, like, a debate on who Boba Fett is. Like, is he this honorable person or is he the ruthless killer? And I think the answer that they're trying to say in this trailer and this show is probably both.
Yeah.
I think he's still a ruthless killer, but he's rekindling the honor that Jango Fett left in him. It does make me wonder, just based on the trailer, just the vibes I got from the first trailer. And again, this could change. But maybe not as flashback heavy as we were expecting it to be.
Yeah. We didn't get any flashes of silver armor or anything like that in the trailer. Right. We didn't get Kamino or, you know, anything like that. So, whereas I think we did maybe get some, didn't we have a shot of Death Watch from a flashback in the Mandalorian trailer?
Yes, we did. Yeah. So like when Din was saved as a child.
Right. Yeah. And that ended up being in the trailer. So they're not one-to-one parallels for sure.
No.
The different shows.
No,
but
no,
if we're kind of following similar marketing logic that they might be using, venture to say it's probably not as flashback heavy as we were maybe originally thinking.
Yeah. But I still think there's flashbacks.
Yes. But
I think there's going to have to be to explain what happened from the Sarlacc to where we see him in The Mandalorian at the very least.
At the very least, not to mention, you know, I mean, I think you're going to have to bring stuff in from the past to inform the current conflicts. I don't think there's a way to get around that.
I agree.
Like, even with a brand new character like Din, we had to delve into his past a little bit to set that up, you know?
I agree. I think... And there's a very good possibility maybe Boba is just implementing something that Jango always wanted to do, and now he's carrying it out for his father. And so this still might be very connected to Jango Fett and the legacy he left behind for Boba Fett. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see what this Ithorian character is, what his name is, number one, and then if there is like a bigger kind of boss above him, because like what we speculated, the majority of this is taking place on Tatooine, but I would have to guess that Coruscant is still a major crime world. Like there are just too many places for crime to not be happening there, right?
Right, and I feel like everybody is passing it along to somebody, right? I mean, that's how it works in the real world. There's pretty much always, you know, somebody else up the chain. at least in the real underworld, and so I'm sure that, you know, that's a similar case in the galaxy. So I would say we'll probably check in on somebody in Coruscant, maybe might run an errand over there or something.
it would be really cool to see it again. Like, I love Tatooine, but it would be incredible to see Coruscant again. Yeah, I mean, we're children of the prequels here.
Right, and I would love to be to see it in the production style that they're utilizing currently.
Yes.
Because to see Coruscant with a mixture of, like, incredible advanced CG now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're, like, you know, well, almost two decades out from seeing a lot of Coruscant. And then also with them, but then bringing in practical elements to fill out that world, make it lived in like they've been doing. I want to see that. I want to see Coruscant like that.
Honestly, though, this is almost like the vision that George Lucas had of the original Star Wars TV show that he was planning right after Revenge of the Sith. Like, he was going to make a Star Wars show called Star Wars Underworld in which Boba Fett was a main character.
Yeah.
The majority of it was going to take place on Coruscant, probably not Tatooine. So it's really interesting. Like, maybe there is going to be a lot of influence from that previous show onto this one.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, years later down the line when we're dissecting everything, like any Star Wars thing that comes out on screen is, you know, years in line when we're talking about all this new information we've learned about Star Wars Underworld and be able to draw the direct parallels and what they changed and what they didn't and all that. That'll be fun.
That will be fun.
It will be years down the line, but it'll be fun.
It will be fun. They had written, I want to say, like 50 plus, maybe 100 scripts.
I was thinking it was like in the triple digits for some reason.
Yeah. They wrote like 100 scripts. I mean, this show was going to cover everything though. It wasn't just going to be like bounty hunters or the crime syndicate. It was going to cover
Jedi,
like politics. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was the whole thing. It was basically
the
Coruscant, the TV show.
Yes. Yes. So I am interested though, to see like what elements could come from that into this. And I'm very excited for this show, and we want to know what you guys think. So make sure you call into our voicemail hotline number, because we might do another show if we get enough calls in to hear what you guys thought of this trailer and what some of your speculation is as well. So here's that number. It is 205-259-6675 to call into the voicemail hotline. And I'm sure we're going to be back to not only talk about the Book of Boba Fett some more, but on November 12th, they're having Disney Plus Day, and we're expecting some big Star Wars TV announcements. So we'll probably be back for that as well. In fact, we will be back. We will be back for that. So
we'll be back.
Make sure you are subscribed. If you're a listener to the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on your podcast app of choice. But also, if you could do us a huge favor, we're trying to make a huge presence on YouTube. I know a lot of our podcast listeners, you're probably just exclusively a podcast listener. Honestly, that's kind of who I am too. Like,
yeah,
I'm a podcaster. Yeah. Like, we are podcasters first and foremost, but we want to tap into a brand new audience over on the YouTube. So if you could subscribe to our YouTube, that would be a major help. We would love to get to 2,000 subscribers before the Book of Boba Fett, which is December 29th. And so today's November 1st. If we could get to 2,000, that would be incredible, because we're at 1,300 right now. Yeah. I think we can do it.
I think we could do it. So leave us a like and subscribe and a comment, all that stuff that feeds the almighty algorithm.
Also tell all your friends, like, hey, if you listen to the Mandalorian Watch, this is the same thing, but for
literally,
the Book
literally
of Boba
the same
Fett.
Same dudes. And
he even has a watch in the name.
Word of mouth will be super important, especially when the show's coming out and everybody's talking about it. Anybody you talk with, talk about the show with, let them know about the podcast in case they want to join in on the conversation.
Yeah, and like when it premieres, so like on December 29th, that evening, we're gonna do a YouTube show. Like, it's gonna be live. It's gonna be streaming right to you, and then it's gonna be on the podcast as well for all our listeners. So you want to make sure you subscribe, because this is going to be big. And I'm excited. I'm excited because especially the YouTube kind of gives you an opportunity to like discuss with others as you're watching, which is, I think, really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So go ahead and check us out on YouTube if you haven't already. and, you know, check out merch and the Patreon and all that. If you like the show, that's a great way to
support
keepthewatch.com. 100%. Keepthewatch.com. Get our logo on a diaper bag, on a,
yep. A onesie, mug,
a onesie, a fanny pack, whatever you want.
We also have Vanth Refrigeration, Cobb Vanth Refrigeration t-shirts, mugs. Yep.
And,
cloning is so hot right now with Thrawn and Palpatine.
Yep. I think we will probably have some new designs come out as we're doing the show episodes.
Yeah.
I think generally our recurring bits will get turned into designs. So.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the Ithorian is our recurring bit for us, to be honest with you. Yeah,
fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we will see what happens. Can't wait for the Book of Boba Fett. Don't touch that dial. Keep watching for all of the updates, and we'll talk about everything that happens. But until then, keep the watch.